Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hi and welcome to this week's Snowcast. It's me, DJ, and Owen. We're doing it solo again this week. We're just kind of winging it this week.
We're dropping guests like every week.
Yeah, no.
People must be getting sick of the Zoom. Maybe that's it.
It's also nearly like I think a lot of people have Zoom fatigue. So I found this week, like you know, we were doing a bit of texting about. What would we do? What kind of way would we construct an episode? And what would we do? Who would we have on? And we were thinking about people to have on. And we had a couple of ideas. And then we were like, we need to be organized if we want to have good guests on. Like, we need to fucking actually have a plan. So, and as well, I found like Zoom fatigue is definitely a thing at the moment. Like, it's a weird thing that you never would have fucking come across 2 months ago. But just even asking people to come onto Zoom. You know, I know a couple of WhatsApp groups I'm involved with would be putting up like Zoom chats every couple of days, and I find like you'd be really enthused if you haven't been on one in a couple of days. Have a can with a couple of lads and a couple of girls and have a chat, and then all of a sudden like one goes up the next night and you might drop in for a half an hour, but the third night you're just like not even entertaining this. Like, so even asking people to jump onto Zoom and do a podcast, I'm a bit like, I don't want to be asked this week, so I'm not going to ask anyone.
No, I think people are getting fairly fed up. Actually, I heard a funny story of someone there recently who was invited to two Zoom quizzes, I think, on the one night. And basically, they used the excuse of the other Zoom quiz to get out of the Zoom quiz they're invited to. So they just were like, oh, no, I can't. I'm on another Zoom quiz twice. Using that excuse twice. And then just sat on the couch and watched Netflix. That person was not me, but it was someone we both know. I'll let you know afterwards.
Perfect. I'm just like, thank fuck I didn't organize a Zoom quiz this week. I'd be paranoid now for the next hour. That's exactly it. Like, I went on a quiz last night with Farrell Fitness, the gym I go to. Haven't seen any of the people that go to the classes since all this began, and they've got really good like private members Facebook group where people are putting up pictures of themselves exercising and all they're doing, and like. I was kind of like doing it at the start, but the last few weeks have been like not happening. So back in the horse this week, but I was laughing. I was thinking like, I'd be good to see the lads. And I was kind of texting Robbie, the guy that owns the gym, during the week about other stuff and about maybe like getting some personal training and all that when lockdown lifts. And even again, like trying to support the local business and be like, right, I probably do need personal training, eating fucking brownies and all that at the moment. But I just thought it'd be good to fucking check in. And it was class, actually. It's the first time I used it, this app called Kahoot, and they used it to run the quiz, and it was really fucking good, because what I found was it was this thing, like the screen is shared and the questions come up, and the question comes up, and then it gives you the options, an MCQ, like four different options afterwards.
Yeah.
And they're all color coded, and on the app on your phone on your screen, you don't see the color code. All you see is squares with the colors in them. So like the screen says, like, you know, fucking the four answers and the right one is in the blue box. All your phone screen says it's the blue box. So you're trying to fucking check the screen, and the quicker you answer, the more points you get. And get consecutive ones in a row, right? Get you more points. So it's fucking good. Like I was having, like, it's a bit like Who Wants to Be a Millionaire back in the day with the fastest fingers first, because if you answer fast, you get more points. But then, like, you could be going too quick and hit the wrong fucking answer, like, and be like a dope, because everyone's answers came up then at the end of the question. And you could see it was very obvious looking at the scoreboard if someone got like a real easy question wrong. So I was like, it's good crack now. It was one, that was the kind of thing, like that kind of quiz now was good fun and innovative. Like it wasn't bad.
We had a Zoom quiz there last night. And you know, kind of the general knowledge questions and different rounds and stuff. But then there was a good, like there was two or three good rounds in it now that were like, you know, they kind of appeal to everyone, like who wouldn't have a great general knowledge. There was one that was like famous faces and familiar faces. So it was like a celebrity face mashed up with one of the participants in the group's face. So you have to guess like the celeb and the person in the group who it was. That was pretty fun, like very innovative. And then there was just ones, there was like place names was around as well. That was like kind of riddles based on places in the UK and Ireland. So there was like, what was one? So say like the body's only regenerative organ and a body of water or something like that, Liverpool. So they're really good. They're ones like just those riddly ones as well are always pretty good, like, you know, or any of those like kind of pictogram things are good crack, because you know, it's not based on like, I hate questions that are what year was, and you're like, I couldn't give a fuck what year the Battle of Waterloo was. Like I hate the kind of date things like that. Like, sorry Finn if you're listening, but I hate kind of questions like that. They're just so specific, like, you know, you're like, it's not even kind of guessable, like, you know, a lot of the time, like, you're just like, oh, I don't know, 1815 or
whatever. Like any random date, like, yeah.
any random old fucking date, yeah. I don't know, I'm getting a bit not sick of them. I like them as well. So we have one that one last night is on every Saturday night, and it's great because it actually puts a bit of like a routine or a bit of something to look forward to in the week. So you're like, you know, Saturday night is quiz night, and you see like this group of like 12 people or whatever, and it's good crack, like, you know, everyone's on and everyone's giving a bit of banter. There was a good bit afterwards last night where we were like, so the quiz was over and we all started going back through like old Facebook photos and posts and stuff like that. So like everyone was just like on the laptop, just like fucking on somebody else's Facebook on it, and just like then just like putting like the phone screen up and just being like, you idiot, look at you here, you look like such a fool back in like 2004. And it's really good fun.
That'd be a great TV show. You know the way I was actually listening to the radio the other day, they were talking about struggles it wasn't radio. I was listening to one of the Echo Chamber podcasts the other day, and they were talking about the struggles that the arts are gonna have to create new content and how to create new content and stuff like that. And like that TV companies were really worried about getting new content that they were going to run out, especially like streaming services and everything. They were like, how do we get new content up and ready and available? And there's going to be like an absolute drought of new content in a couple of months' time, because all this stuff that was planned is not going to be done. But anyway, what you're describing there, do you know those TV those shows that used to be on Comedy Central, like where like celebrities roast each other? You could definitely do like a social media roast of someone to that kind
That'd
of
be right.
It'd be better than Gogglebox, you know? It'd be fucking brilliant. Oh. Watching. Imagine.
Oh man, that would be so cringy. Imagine the shit I said. Actually, Kira had a post up there the other day, right? And I think it was a picture of her or something. And it was just a random picture of Kira in this, or was it a picture of me and Kira? Anyway, it doesn't matter. But like the first comment underneath it was me saying, "You're a dick and I hate you."
That's there forever for your grandkids to see in 40 years' time.
but right, what I actually think happened in that scenario was that somebody had left a comment above it and like had like either left Facebook or had deleted the comment or whatever, right? So then like my comment then appears, I'm obviously responding to that person's comment being like,
"Oh, yeah.
Oh, you look like an idiot or something in this photo," like, you know, and then I'm commenting underneath to him or her saying, "You're a dick and I hate you." But no, now it's just like under, and then Kira's mom then comments like a few comments later and like, "Oh, you look lovely" or something. And I'm like, "Oh God, what?"
Yeah, that's it. Like those, like Facebook memories and Snapchat memories and stuff like that. They're fucking
cringe.
You know what? They're a lucky mix though. Like I had a really lovely like Facebook memory with my grandmother who passed away last year. The other day, and I was like, "Oh, this is amazing!" Like, and I was like, "Fucking, I saved that picture," and it was just a really, really nice moment. Like the next day, then like it was like, I don't know what it was like. Your Facebook memory and it popped up and I was like, "What the fuck is this?" I made some stupid comment anyway, and then all the comments underneath are like, you know, you're just looking at something, you're like, "What was I thinking? What was my frame of mind when I was..." But the thing is, like, you're a 20-year-old, you're probably after being on the Raz for 3 days straight, like you could be, it's like we were so lucky that we were in that bridge between social media becoming mainstream and figuring out how to use it and what to use it for. Like we were 22, 23 before Twitter really became a thing. Like,
yeah.
Imagine people now, like teenagers, and like they're, some people, their every thought is put up onto social media. And you're like, "Fuck, man, I'm a devil for it, but fuck it." There'll be some memories in a couple of years' time, of people when they're like 14, 15 on Facebook, you know, and I'm so fucking glad it wasn't around back then, you know, like if I...
You're so right though, like our accessibility to it back then, like, you know, like say Facebook was around, I think like 2008, I'd say would have been in Ireland, but like we were only able to access it from our laptops or... like whatever. So I remember there was actually a funny comment in the quiz last night where someone was just, we were talking about like the library in our college, UCC, and someone was just like, "Oh sure, so you never saw the inside of the library, like, you know?" And then we were like, actually we did, because that was the only place that like you could access Facebook or whatever, that you go in and like, remember there was those kind of like standing those desks like with
just for the lips like, opened.
Yeah, exactly. Like with computers on it, which were obviously meant for like searching books in the library or where to find things. But like, it was just full of like students, like just checking their Facebook and Bebo or whatever. Like, but yeah, like so funny when you look back on it now where like you just didn't have it on your phone because you just didn't have the capabilities to look on your phone. So it is definitely a blessing in disguise, especially as well, I think like the fact that like phone cameras and stuff have just become so good now, but like back then, like you know, it looked like you're taking a photo on a potato, like, you know, and you're just like, you wouldn't post as much because it just looked absolute muck like the whole time, you know?
Nothing but blurs, like.
Blurs, yeah. That was actually a thing. I actually quite like all those photos, like some of those photos then from like nightclubs and stuff in college as well, whereby it's just like this kind of weird, blurry, like hazy photo of like, and all the lights from the club be all over the place and like everyone looks mangled, but like it's the how bad the quality of this photo is as well kind of adds to the whole atmosphere as well. Whereas like now, like it'll be just like full high definition resolution of you being mangled in the nightclub.
There's this that just reminds me of this one particular part of Havana Browns that like we would you know sometimes go to in college in one of the nightclubs in Cork, and there was this one area when you went in first where it was like divided by shelving and lighting in the middle, and you could go in and around, and it was just a bar at the front when you'd go in, and then it would lead on further to like the dance area and all that and the biggest bar. But that particular area, there's so many blurry photos that were on my Facebook from there, where it's like, and you know, like it comes up like photos of you if someone's tagged you in them, and you're like, there are nights where I wasn't even out, but someone just assumed it was me because it was blurry and it was a tall fella, and they were like, you know, they fucking tag him away, like, you know, like, that's not me, I wasn't even out that night, you know, like.
I know, that tagging thing was reckless as well, like, it's like random photos have been, like, put up, like.
geez, simpler times indeed. You were on the quiz last night, this thing's, leads me on to the next fucking thing that I thought would be worth exploring is how's your drinking habit changed? You know, obviously pubs have been closed now for what, 2 months? Like, how's your drinking habit changed with the pubs being closed? And now, like, you've got access to alcohol like kind of every night, and now that drinking isn't framed through the prism of, you know, I'm looking forward to going out socializing and have a couple of drinks socially. With the fact that there's like, as you said, fucking Zoom nights every couple of nights, and you know it's a great excuse to have a drink. Do you find you're drinking more or less, or how are you finding it at the moment? And I think it's something again that's going to evolve the longer the pubs are closed, I'd imagine.
I think I don't know. It's a funny one. It's a mixed bag. So I think like I'm quite good on school nights. All right. That I wouldn't be drinking, I wouldn't see the need to drink. But then, like, if, like, say I was off on Friday this week, and Thursday night, I was like, ah, sure, I'll have a glass of wine. And I actually, did I keep it to a glass of wine? No, I didn't, did I? No. No. Well, no, sorry. Thursday night, I think I had a glass of wine, and I had a thing of Porterhouse plain porter, which was lovely as well. I had that after wine, so that wasn't too bad. Now I just had those two drinks, and then Friday night didn't have a Zoom thing or anything on Friday night, but I had 4 of the Rascals Fruitropolis, those mini cans, because I was in Aldi. It's the first time I've been in Aldi since lockdown, because, well, normally kind of Kira does the shopping midweek anyway, went around, but I kind of found myself feeling more secure and safe in Tesco, because there was kind of like the wider aisles, better queuing system, especially that Tesco Nace, there was kind of like better queuing system when it kind of initially kicked off. I know like Lidl and Aldi are good now, and that... like that they've kind of implemented things. But I think at the start, they were kind of slow enough to actually get everything in order. So then I ended up just going, nah, fuck, I'll just stick with Tesco. Anyway, went to Aldi and got those Fruitropolis things and then finished them. And then last night then I had a bottle of wine over a quiz. But I felt like you nearly, when a quiz or anything comes up, like you're kind of automatically just reaching for a can, like, you know?
Yeah.
And then it's like that bottle of wine as well. Like, so say Saturday night, like myself and Kira, or yeah, say if myself and Kira were going out for a meal or whatever, like we might go out and have like two glasses of wine or whatever. And Kira normally drinks white, I normally drink red. So then we'd like just be buying by the glass. Whereas like last night, like should the red wine was open, like I had to polish it off, like, you know, it was,
sure. You have vinegar in a bottle, you don't need more vinegar in a couple of days time.
Yeah. So then like that was kinda like that's like when you think about it, it doesn't seem like large volumes, but like it's like last night was binge drinking, so that's three nights on the Raz in a row, and then tonight, I was going to be on today doing the Snugcast tonight, and I really wanted to drink, but I was just I have work now in the morning, and I actually just don't feel great after the three nights drinking away, so I'm on the water tonight.
Yeah, but, for sure.
Yeah, no, it's just, I don't know, is it I think it's the availability of drink. You kind of want to support local breweries and things like that, and you want to have a bit of drink around the house and stuff. But that just means you can drink it easier as well. If it's there, there's no deterrent for you, you know.
It sounds like the way you're describing it there, the three kind of nights having a couple of drinks has just kind of snuck up on you without even realizing it. You know, that kind of way, that's almost
they were totally a glass of wine and a porter on the first night, that's not too bad. The four, there were little stubby cans of the Fruitropolis, that's also not too bad. But it's just I also could have had one or two of those cans and left off the other two for the following day or whatever. But I just enjoyed it so much. And I was just well, there's another one in the fridge.
In fairness, Fruitropolis is the kind of yolk that you've drank three before you know it because it goes down so well.
Yeah.
And sure then, you said, the quiz, I found that last night on the and the Fire Fitness quiz. Actually, that was my first drink all week, was the quiz last night. I had one of the Kinnegar High Glen, the dry hop citrus sour that I was talking about last week. I actually enjoyed them so much that I got a couple of more there the other day just to top it up. But would you believe during the week, a couple of people were on to me about a few things. And the Olin's Tart, the apple sour that I talked about last week from Kinnegar, two brothers were on to me fucking during the week, get us some of those, we fucking need them. So I must get on to Kinnegar and find out what the story with it is. I should have looked this up before I come on and look like I don't know, but I don't know, is it a staple or do they sell it all year round or what's the story with it? But it's amazing. So I actually got the last five cans out of our King stores the other day. So I have them for the boys there and
posting them down.
Yeah. I'll see what the crack is. I'll keep them in the fridge and hopefully I get to go down and see the lads in a month's time or so and bring down a few cans to them, or they can collect them halfway or something. But fuck it. I found that was the first thing I had last night. But with the quiz, this is the thing, right? Last night, because the downside of that Kahoot was the quiz kept going on, and I had the laptop in here in the room that in the little mini office I have, and then the fridge is in another room. And it was 51 questions, but they were consecutively asked because there was no break because it was all done on the app and timed. So I was I can't go get another can. So I did my usual thing of taking a big scalp of a first sup. And then I was I need to manage this now to another fucking 49 questions. So you're sipping away. But it is that thing when you're in a quiz where you're just automatically reaching for the glass. And I find the same actually with a pub quiz. Back when pubs were open, back in those days, that the pub quiz, you drink at a ferocious rate when the quiz is on, because it is that crutch. Every time, it's almost every time a question is asked and you answer, it's right, take a sip, reach for the glass, or drown in your sorrows in the lack of knowledge that you have. But I found that though last night. But then the quiz finished up, and we actually went and watched. Myself and Eve had the last episode of The Last Dance, which we might delve into in a bit more detail next week, lined up to watch last night. So I left it at the one can. And then this evening then, so I've actually not been too bad the last few weeks with the drinking. But this evening then, I was right, during the week when I was getting those cans of Olin Tartos, I want to stock up in a few bits. And it's actually ties into what you're saying about buying stuff like that. So I was like, there's a couple of bits that I want. When we were doing streaming these live to YouTube for the first handful of self-isolated ins with our technical glitches and stuff, I was ashamed of my glasses. Not my glasses for my vision, but the glasses I was drinking beer of. So in fairness, our Keen Stores gave me a nice Ballyclaycabin pint glass that they had left behind, so left over. So I have a good pint glass now. But also I went down to the Kildare Brewing Company's website the other day because Mark, my brother as well, who had been on to me about Odin's Tart, came on back and said the lockdown IPA, he was like, that's one thing I'd love to get. But Mark is a bit of an idiot, like trying to order stuff online for himself. He's useless. So I went and had a look on the Kildare Brewing Company website, and I actually ordered a case of the Lockdown Extended IPA, their newer iteration of the Lockdown IPA. And they actually sell pint glasses on the website as well. So I've ordered a couple of pint glasses from the Kildare Brewing Company as well.
Oh, nice.
But then tonight, actually, so like Kinnegar, I've actually been giving them a lot of love on the social media for the last week, because in fairness, like, we've gotten to how many Snowcast episodes and never really featured any of the beers on it. And I was actually fucking delighted to be able to feature them last week, because I don't drink from home much. I don't drink many cans. So with the lockdown, I've been drinking more of stuff that I've always loved but never had access to in the pubs. But I've got this Crossroads American style IPA from Kinnegar tonight. It's 6.2%, but it's fucking delicious. And they've got a phenomenal can range, like, at the moment, Kinnegar. So I'd say I cleaned Arkeen out of Kinnegar stuff the other day. The Crossroads IPA, this is lovely. Like, it's fucking, it's an American style, so it's not too citrusy. It's hoppy. It's lovely. It's got a lovely balance, really nice finish. And it's gone down fairly quickly there now. It's fucking sinking through it. So I just really wanted to shout out Kinnegar again, because they're a phenomenal brewery. Like, so fucking good. It's just a pity that, like, they're literally on the opposite corner of the country to where we are. So, like, we're reliant on off licenses and stuff like that to provide them. But I'm actually buzzing. That's one silver lining on this whole situation for me, is that I'm able to drink more Kinnegar beer, and I'm able to get beer from Kildare Brewing Company and stuff like that. And actually, that you mentioned Rascals, just from looking again, they've got some really, really good deals online. I saw they shared on Twitter the other day. So if people are interested in the Fruitopolis you had last night, which actually we've had on the podcast, Fruitopolis was on, we had Fruitopolis and Phil Grimes a couple of times on the featured on the podcast, and they do the Yankee IPA as well that we've had in the podcast too. So it's another fucking great brewery. But it is, like you said there, Owen, like, it can easily fucking creep up in you. The fucking two or three nights in a row. So I'm gonna have a couple of cans after we finish this as well myself, and fucking watch it. I think I might try and fill them there and have a couple of cans watching a movie, because I'm really fucking really enjoying it today. But I haven't really had anything all week. I think as well though, it's that kind of fucking drive for routine that you talked about with your Saturday night quizzes that has me not reaching for the can or the bottle every night. So it's interesting, like, and it's just a funny thing. Like, I've never ever had to think too much about my drinking habit, because usually it's we go for a couple of pints on a Thursday, record a Snowcast, and maybe then go for a couple of pints on a Saturday night. Whereas now I find, like, is it fucking, who knows if it's Thursday or Saturday or what fucking day it is. So it's a very easy trap to fall into.
It's echo there after saying about, like, I quite like a lot of the off licenses and stuff now are doing, like, they're doing like deals on a lot of these cans or bottles or whatever of, but they're doing them like for a brewery. So, like, there I was saying I had that plain porter by the Porter House Brewing Company, but I'd also gotten like their Session Pale Ale. I think it's like a regular pale ale or some other IPA that they have, and I got something else, but it was like four for 11 or something in the carryout by me. But yeah, it was I quite enjoyed, like, just kind of, you know, you see, like, you know, you go into some places and you'd be like, oh, I'll get two of these, and you're kind of cheering around. But this is quite nice that you are able to like test a lot of the one brewery and just be able to like have a little taster of all their offerings and just kind of how they go about beer. So yeah, love that kind of porter. It was really, really nice. It was nice bitter porter. You know, so like a lot of times we've had like kind of coffee porters or some kind of caramelly and stuff like. So they're nice and sweet and stuff, and they're great to have like those, you know, oatmeal ones and stuff. But this is just like proper classic, like bittery old porter, like lovely. And the session pale ale was lovely as well, really, really light and nice. So yeah, shout out to them. They're a good old brewing company as well there.
Brilliant. That leads us on nicely to Pint Watch on. So the segment that we introduced last week, where we have a look at the, I suppose, any developments over the last week in relation to pubs, off licenses, stuff that like the Vintners Federation of Ireland might come out with, or how the media is portraying the approach to pubs reopening, etc. So is there anything that caught your eye in the last week with Pint Watch, just to say that pubs might get to open earlier, or we might have access to pints on draft a little bit earlier, maybe able to sit at a bar and have a pint before? You predicted August 10th last week and I predicted the August 24th. So has the needle changed for you, do you think?
Well, I thought it was very interesting that, I can't remember what paper was on, but it was saying that, probably on all the papers actually, but half the pubs in Dublin are thinking of opening up as restaurants. So like, I don't really know what the legislation behind that is. Is it like that they're allowed to then sell food in the establishments, like without a liquor license or whatever? Like very difficult to see how, like, again, as we've been kind of harping on about a few weeks now, like, you know, does a place like Phil Grimes that gives you a pizza, does that count itself then as a restaurant, or Grady's Yard or whatever, like things like that? Like, you know, a lot of those places are offering food, like let's say Grady's Yard, like the food in Grady's Yard, I assume, is not their money maker. They're offering that as a means of getting people into the establishment and, like, you know, relaxing there, having a bit of food and staying there so that they order more drinks, and that's the actual reason why they offer food in the pub. Whereas, like, I don't see them opening up as just a restaurant, not being able to sell food, like, you know.
Actually, it's funny because not long after they had started providing the food in Grady's Yard, Kevin and Vic had said to me when they were there at the time that they were nearly worried that the food was taken over. So yeah, I think like that's a classic example of somewhere that the food is an accompaniment to the drink and the socializing, as opposed to somewhere that you're going there for food and the drink is an accompaniment to it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So yeah, I suppose it'll all pan out now in the next few days and weeks and stuff. But it'd be interesting to see what the plan of action there is. But if that goes ahead, then like the needle goes back to phase three, like, doesn't it?
Yeah. And phase three is June 29th. Which would be a huge leap. Like, you're talking about 6 weeks earlier than a lot of businesses would have anticipated. And it's funny, I don't know how many pubs will get away with that. Certainly a lot of pubs that wouldn't have a kitchen on site, I'd imagine, would automatically not qualify for that. But what was also very interesting to me during the week, I don't know if you saw it, was the on Clareburn Live. I didn't actually see it on the night, but I just came across it on social media in a few days after I watched the video, where actually there was Claire Byrne, a pub owner from Cork, and two other people. I don't even know who they were, but they were on the TV show featured, and they were on, I think it was the pub, from Fair City, the set from Fair City. And they basically were sitting in chairs. I think so now, could be wrong. But ultimately, they were sitting with the measures that were proposed by the Vintners Federation of Ireland and trying to enjoy a pint. And it was very interesting to see it laid out. And I think it was funny, my looking at the segment, it's about 8.5 minutes long, and we'll actually retweet it on the Snowcast Twitter page tonight. But it was very interesting looking at that and thinking, right, how practically would it work out? And what I found is they were all actually quite enthused when they got the drink first and seemed, well, as they discussed it and the practicalities and they ironed out the issues, and it was a bit like, right, is it that practical? Now, the pub owner was very adamant that it was practical at the beginning, and then he started to come around a bit to the logistical issues. And they were saying that, like, one guy was saying that he wouldn't enjoy it, and one of the women was actually saying it was quite nice. And I suppose the thing as well is, if there's not that many people in there, you can still have a conversation with someone that's a couple of tables away, because there's not too much noise drowning it out. Now, you can't have a private conversation in that setting with someone because you're sitting 2 meters away. But that's neither here nor there. And you know, that's another issue altogether. So I was like, right, maybe. But then the one thing that none of this can answers is the toilet issue. And I think that's ultimately, like, will be a big struggle. And actually, James Murphy Dickey sent me on an article in the Irish Independent there yesterday from Paddy Murray, where he went and asked a few pubs, including Sean's Bar and Athlone and a few other pubs around the country, about how they felt about lifting measures and then about what their current view in the whole situation was. And like, Sean's Bar were very, like, you know, in fairness, like, they've been consistent throughout, you know. Ultimately, at the end of the day, public health is the thing that matters most. But it was funny, a couple of bars, one or two of the bars are very much like, you know, we want to open, we think this is fine. And then another place is like, well, if we open, we're only able to open under the conditions at 30% of our capacity, and that's not financially viable. So it's still a real bind. The one big development in the last week, I think, on, I don't know what your take on this is some emerging evidence in some countries, I think, have implemented this, where instead of a 2 meter social distance, when you are at rest, 1 meter is sufficient. And I think that would, if that was to become the public health advice, that would be a big game changer into everything that we've talked about. And a couple of weeks ago, when we went through the challenges and why we didn't think it would be, pubs wouldn't be open until the very, very end, 1 meter would be a game changer there, I think, and it would give a lot of pubs and restaurants the ability to put the argument forward to say that they could open sooner than August 10th if the trends and the numbers and the figures in Ireland stay on the trajectory that they're currently on in terms of case numbers and deaths and ICU admissions. And what do you think?
Yeah, no, I definitely think if that did come into place, then it would help. The only thing is, I'd say, is that that pub in that Fair City pub, like, is obviously, like, laid out perfectly for every single, like, camera angle, like, maneuverability, whatever. So, like, that pub was probably already nearly observing social distancing with, like, you know, being able to, and, like, you know, it's a huge big floor space and things like that anyway. And I'm just wondering, like, how many pubs anyway would have that kind of a layout, like, or like that much of a gap between a wall and the bar and stuff like that anyway. So yeah, I think firstly, I think, like, you know, if the people who were in that bar, including that publican, already felt quite uncomfortable, or that, you know, that it wouldn't be the best layout, then I wouldn't like to think about other bars, like, that won't have that amount of space available. Because let's just say you do have one area of the pub, whereby let's say we'll take our old favorite there, Phil Grimes, right? So the front of the bar there is quite wide, right? And there's the booths and stuff like that where you're able to, you know, knock in a bit. So you might be able to do something along there and have your few guests there. But then you'd have that middle section of the bar then, where, like, you have, like, those tables and you have the stools and stuff like that, where it's actually very narrow. And
I'd like, imagine there the tables at the back would have to be removed there straight away, wouldn't it?
Like, yeah, those. But, like, I'm still wondering, is there even, like, do you know, like, that's just going to be empty space there anyway, then, like, you know.
I'm not going to lie, like, you like, giving a visual description of Phil Grimes and what it might be like under social distancing. Like, I've been very strict and adamant about, like, and I've been very conservative in how, when I think pubs are open. But I did get, like, butterflies in my stomach there when you were talking about, like, how Phil Grimes might be laid out, and just picturing us fucking sitting in Phillies with a pint, like, actually fucking really got me excited. And I actually have softened in the last week. I can see what you're saying about Phillies, like, and like, straight away, one of our favourite pubs, J.K. Welch's, like,
God, there's not a meter from the bar to the wall there, like.
No, and like, I think you're looking at a situation where, like, fuck it, a meter is a game changer for loads of pubs. Like, 2 meters can't be done in Phil Grimes. 1 meter can. Two meters. Grady's Yard actually is very well equipped to, and they've got, like, partitions, natural partitions, in the way the bar is laid out as well. Like, it actually is a very, very well laid out pub for this situation to open.
Yeah, they have a few physical barriers already in place and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, like, we've often put up the cool picture of the little snug in inverted commas area out the back where we, like, the record, where you've got, like, the door, sort of reclaimed door there, partitioning off to the next set of tables. But, like, there's not going to be a one solution fits all here. And I do think, no. I softened a bit in that I think, if you can get 80, 90% of pubs getting revenue in, even to break even, just to get them breaking even and get, and you can do it in a way that minimizes public risk. And I think you're looking at the figures now, this is evolving the whole time, not to get into the science of it too much, but with, like, you know, the virus is essentially suppressed in Irish community at the moment. Now, that's a live situation and it can take off. What I find really interesting is we're actually in a situation where if it could be done and enough evidence came out to say that 1 meter social distancing at rest was sufficient. I think then all of a sudden it's a game changer. What I'm going to say about Pint Watch and my thoughts on it this week are, I'm going to give a date for 2 meter social distancing, which I think is August 10th. I'm going to bring it up from August 24th, my conservative view last week. I think the data so far, and we're probably too soon since phase one is lifted to see proper data, but I think I'm going to come up to August 10th. I think the way things are going at the moment, I can see August 10th being viable. I'm going to say 1 meter social distancing. I think the pubs would have a viable enough argument to win over getting moved to phase four. I don't think they're going to get to phase three. I think that's wishful thinking. And I do think as well, it seems to me like the government, I think the Temple Bar incidents and the post-Cheltenham Temple Bar incidents, when this was first breaking out and there was massive fear about the impact it could have on our society, has damaged the lobby ability of BFI and these other guys, because certain pubs showed a complete disregard for public health at the time.
Yeah.
And a few have ruined it for the many. I think you could possibly be looking at phase four at 1 meter social distancing. So that would be July
the 20th 19th? Or something.
July 19th or I'm going to say July 19th. I'm just going to pull the fucking data. So I'm going to say August 10th, 2 meter social distancing. July 19th, 1 meter social distancing, depending on how the public health stuff evolves. So people stay tuned. July 19th is less than 2 months away. So we could be seven, eight weeks away from having a cold pint in your hand if the country still plays ball. What do you think?
Before I make my guess, right, I had a thought there while you were talking, right? So in the Irish Times, front page of the Irish Times there yesterday was the legislation regarding takeaway pints, right? So that Gardaí had, because you've probably seen a few pubs in Dublin have, and around a few other places as well, but have been offering, like, takeaway pints to people, or a home delivery pint service. Like, you know, if you're within, like, say, whatever, K or so of the pub, right? So they'll walk the pub, walk the pint down to your house or whatever, or you can collect one, right? So the guards wrote to sought legal advice on it, and basically the legal advice that was returned is that it is completely legal to do it. So once the pint is purchased on the premises, and I think it's like consumed then outside of 100 meters away from the pub, and then it's fine to do so. Obviously not in a public space. So it's fine to do so. So what I'm wondering is, I wonder, would it be a thing whereby if they change the legislation so that you were able to have takeaway pints, but like consume them within a public space, like say within 100 meters of the pub. So you use, say, let's say in Waterford, like Jeff's, and you use like there, the Apple Market area, and have that all as a drinking-ish area where you're able to, like, you know, be more in an outdoor space and kind of spread it out, you know? I know it's very hard to kind of police then how many people are in that area, or is, you know, because that's a thoroughfare as well and stuff. But I'm just like, that just came to me. I think that could be a bit of a goer, like to try and increase capacity and like, you know, like have it so that, you know, people are able to consume their drinks, like especially as well when coming into like the summertime now, that like you have the weather to do that, like, you know.
The problem there though is, in order to get,
I don't want problems, I want solutions. I want solutions.
I know, but I'm playing devil's advocate here. In order to change legislation, you need a sitting government. And I don't think we're going to have a sitting government before July, personally. I don't think we're going to have a new government elected before July. So I'm not sure that I can see where you're coming from. I do think as well, like there's issues with like pint glasses aren't allowed on the street and stuff like that.
Yeah, but okay, but say even plastic glasses then, you know.
I'm telling you now, right? I have the thoughts of my first pint.
I know.
And if it comes to me in a plastic cup, I think I might actually just fucking give up on life then. So
yeah.
I'd rather wait an extra month and get a real pint than one of them plastic fucking cup yolks. Give me a date, so give me a 2 meter date and give me a 1 meter date.
So 2 meter date, I'm going to improve, I think, my previous guess, and I'm going to say August 3rd, which is probably a bank holiday Monday. Is it? That's probably the bank holiday Monday, is it? That one, August 3rd.
Possibly. We'll say yes.
So yeah, maybe they might sneak in an old bank holiday for us. August 3rd, and then I'm going to say 1 meter distance in, I'm going to say the same as you, that July 19th or 20th or whatever that is.
Okay, so we're saying like the original phase four in here. Yeah. Well, that's good.
But so basically what I've done there is that I think that the phase four will be rolled out a week earlier. I think the data might improve the rolling out of that phase, but I'm not sure if it'll be sufficient in time for phase three to be reduced in time, if you know
fair
what I mean.
Enough, yeah.
Excellent.
So basically if
come on, no point.
Us who are not public health experts in any regard are saying there's a sneaky chance of a pint in July. That's something for the listeners and ourselves to look forward to anyway. Hopefully fingers crossed people don't go too fucking mad now with the lifting of the phases. We're all hanging for a pint.
Don't ruin the pints on us.
Don't go around slobbering on each other yet. Just hold off and we'll have a fucking pint in July. Monday's song July, if there's pints become available in July, I think Monday's song July will be number one in the charts all over the world. Just be like, fucking, you'll have to rewrite it. Be like, July, please, I'm on my knees. The taste of your lovely new pour pints. Brilliant. I suppose on just to finish up our podcast tonight, you were telling me before we came online you had an Indian takeaway. What do you reckon, right? We talk, obviously, talking an awful lot about pints. consuming alcohol, drinks, those kind of habits, right? Every Friday for the last 5-6 weeks, my favorite restaurant in Waterford, Roman's Cafe Wine Bar. Roman, he said it to me himself, actually. He was like, you know, he's opened up to do a takeaway menu. At the beginning, it was just a break even because he was just sick of being bored at home alone with the family. He was like, fuck it, I go into restaurants, do a takeaway menu. People, if it works out, it works out. It's just something for me to do, which is great. But actually, it's fucking, he's an amazing cook and he's doing some fucking delicious, delicious food. So every Friday, I'm ordering takeaway meal for myself and Niamh, and it's proper Italian food. It's not your traditional takeaway food. And I'm able to fucking get that. We're able to pick it up in a tray, come home, eat it at home. Like really, really good, proper restaurant cuisine eating at home. Now, I'm sure it was done before, but like, I'm not the kind of person that would get takeaway restaurant food beforehand. I know Everett's in Waterford, who are recommended in Michelin Guide, are doing a different menu every week where people can order a 3-course meal. And that's gone down a treat with people who've got that. I just, is our habit for consuming restaurant quality food, not takeaway like chippers and stuff like that and Chinese food, but in terms of restaurant quality food, are our habits and demands going to evolve and change? And will we ever get back to the norm of packing out a restaurant, people sitting close together, eating, you know, really, really well prepared and well delivered food? Or will there be now a demand for a takeaway market to overtake the traditional restaurant?
Yes. So I think you're not going to be able to pack out a restaurant the way you were, where you're eating elbow to elbow with the diners beside you. Like, you know, take for instance, Burza in Waterford. I love that restaurant, but oftentimes I feel like I'm in on top of the conversation beside me as well.
Pure claustrophobia.
Yeah, it's a bit of claustrophobia. Like, so that's going to be have to be spaced out. Now, they offered a simple takeaway menu already for their pizzas there, and a few other things like their fries and stuff like that. So like, they were already set up for it. So that's great. They'll have a, you know, they might maybe put a bit more emphasis, might expand that menu and that they have there. And that's great. But yeah, the majority of restaurants won't be able to. What I found, I went to, where did I go for a meal? I can't remember. But what I do like about this is that they're offering like pickup times to get it. So it allows like for the kitchen staff as well to be much more like manageable in the terms of when they have to have food prepared by. So like, you know, if you have your like, say, I don't know, 5-10 minute interval slots for person, you're not rushing and like having to focus too much on like having your restaurant trade and your takeaway trade, you know, because you'd have like fucking a million people coming in at 6, 7, 8 o'clock or whatever, getting their takeaway. Like if you can only give, say, whatever, 18 slots or something over those 3 hours, then that's it. That's all you have to make is those 18 meals or whatever for those times. You can have you're going to have a smaller restaurant then. So I definitely think things are going to change. I actually quite like the kind of like designated pickup times, like, you know, like it's the same as kind of like booking a table in a restaurant where you're, yeah, like, oh, we don't have 7 o'clock, we can do 7:30 or 6:30 or whatever for you, like, you know. So that's it, like, you know.
That's been my experience so far. I've been able to like ring up the now obviously for busier restaurants it won't be as simple as this, but like at this, like I'm at the stage because I would have gone to Roman's quite frequently before lockdown and would have always fucking engaged and chat with him, that like, you know, when I ring now, Roman knows my voice. So like when I ring, he's like, DJ, what can I do for you? And like I'll ring him, I'll tell him what I want, but then like I'll be like, can I pick it up at 6:30 or 7 o'clock? And he'll be like, can you do 7:15? And we're like negotiating a pickup time, and it's like, yeah, it's great because he's actively planning out his work, which I think is really, really good, and it just makes it simpler on him. Now he runs a very simple little cafe restaurant, which is just himself, and I think it's his son that do the food there, and you know, it's not a complicated operation, but you can see how that would scale up and be manageable if you were working on very strict timelines. I do think it's very interesting. I think it's something actually that I'd love to play out a bit more with some restaurant owners and have a chat actually. And I know a couple of people who are involved in the business. So we might actually, in the next couple of weeks, I might talk to them about getting in touch with them about how do they see things going forward, and how would they see like the business evolving, if you know what I mean. But I just think it's interesting. I fucking love going. I actually really, really, it's one of the things that I don't do as often as I'd like to do is go to a restaurant. Have done pre-COVID is go to a fucking restaurant, sit down and have a meal and go out for a meal and then go for a drink afterwards. Like, they're some of my favorite fucking evenings when it's a Friday, say you finish work and you're like, wait, we're going to go here for a meal and then we'll go for two or three drinks and we'll be home at 11 o'clock. That's a great way to spend an evening if you ask me. I really, really fucking enjoy those evenings. And it's something I didn't do more, but now I'm almost thinking now, like, will there be a part of me going forward that every second time I would have gone to a restaurant in the past, would I be like, if I'd rather get it as a takeaway and have a couple of cans of Kinnegar, because I can't get Kinnegar in a pub in Waterford at the moment. So will I want Romans or Burrs, as you mentioned, food from Jeff's or something, in a bag, take home, that quality food with a couple of cans and watch a film at home with the missus or whatever it is, you know? So I think as a consumer, there might be an awful lot more demand for that as people get more accustomed to eating better quality takeaway food, essentially.
I think there always has been a bigger demand for quality takeaway food. Like, you know, you've seen like the likes of like Google searches for, you know, healthy takeaways or whatever. Like, you know, just people want to consume better quality food than, like, now you love a dirty chip every now and again, like, you know, but people don't want like that, you know, to bring, I don't know, like the dirty chip is good now, night out, or, you know, if you're in a rush or even if you just kind of feel like it, but like the majority of the time you kind of want a nice meal, like, you know. So yeah. I think definitely, yeah, as you're saying there, the demand for more options dining wise will be there. And, you know, that does sound like, when I was living in Waterford, like if we were having a movie night or whatever, like that Savage Pizza from Burza would have been like top of our list to get, like, you know, because it was like a nice, like healthy, delicious pizza that you were getting, like real thin crust. And like, you're getting like truffle fries and stuff like that, like, which was like really top quality stuff. And yeah, there will be a demand for that. Now, I don't know, it just depends, I suppose, like whether places, you know, it might mean then hiring another individual to look after that end of the business, and is that viable, blah, 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 blah. But yeah, I'd like it. I definitely would, you know. Like that, yeah. Would, like, you know, like depend on your mood of the night. Like, you know, do I want to head into a pub or do I want to head into a restaurant? Like, as you said, like that is one of my favorite experiences, is heading out for a night, like where you're just kind of relaxed, like listening to everybody else's conversation, commenting on shit, like just actually having a conversation. Phones are away, you know. Whereas at home, if you're sitting on the couch and you're having a meal, there can be a tendency to like not actually fully engage with the person who's across from you, like, you know. Sorry, go on.
You don't have to wash the cutlery that you use in the restaurant.
exactly. But yeah, like I love those, like, and then, you know, it's that thing of like, you know, you're finished it and you're like, oh, we have a drink now before we head home. And you know, you then get to change up your environment. You go across to Jeff's or you go across to into Davey Max or whatever, you know, you get that kind of change. And then that might another change of scenery after that to another pub. Like, I fucking miss drinking so much. I've missed this.
this one night on the water. And you're falling apart one night on the water.
Nearly in tears here. This is so hard. Oh my God. I could see me crying here.
He actually has his head in his hands and he's rubbing his eyes, lads. It's actually comical. It's a bit sad.
No, but I do get what you're saying, though, in terms of, like, there are other nights then when you're like, oh, fuck, couldn't be arsed now dressing up or getting ready or showering or whatever to actually head into a restaurant. Or, you know, sometimes you even feel like, oh, I don't even want the fuss of a restaurant now. I don't want to be choosing on a menu. I just want food at home. I want to be cozy, cuddly. I want to watch this film. And that option of having that, like, that style of food being at home is also an amazing option. Yeah. Good question.
The other thing I just finally add to that is, I think the younger, the generation now who are in their 20s have a much bigger culture of fitness and exercise and self-care. Certainly our generation did during our 20s. I know it was growing at the time, but it's a lot more prevalent now. And I think the next generation, again, are a bit more conscious again. So I think there's going, like, when you talk about the market, I think definitely when I come home from work and if I'm going to Farrell Fitness, to the gym for 6:45 or an 8 o'clock class, and then coming home after that and I haven't eaten, you know, you can be damn sure if I could have a meal like that was healthy and like didn't completely fucking offset the workout I just did, but also like was really, really good and restaurant quality, and I could have that at home after working out, you'd be damn fucking sure I'd love to have it. You know, I'd love to pick it up on the way home from the gym and chow down on it. Because the last thing you want to do after working a full day and going to the gym for an hour and a quarter is to fucking have to create and cook a meal afterwards, you know?
Yeah.
When you're not as organized as I am anyway, that's about the case. Speaking of food, it's great for us to be able to harp on about food. We're in quite a privileged position that previously we were able to go to a restaurant, and at the end of COVID lockdown, when restaurants do open, you know, fortunately, touch wood, we'll be in a position to do that one. But a lot of people won't. So I just want to reiterate the pleas that we've been putting out the last few weeks for donations to food banks. Wherever you are located, if you're in a position to donate to the food bank, we would strongly encourage you to do that. Usually on the podcast before COVID, we would put out calls for patrons on our Patreon page. But honestly, if you've got a couple of pounds to spare at the moment, if you can donate something to your food bank, it'd be great. Locally here in Waterford, the Waterford Food Bank are accepting donations from the following locations at the moment: Ardkeen Quality Food Stores, the Aldi stores in Ardkeen, the Glen, Tremore, Ferrybank and Cork Road, and Super Value stores, Caulfields at the Hypercentre, Cork Road, and Quishes in Tremore. So if you do your local shop, if you're in any of those stores and you have a 5 or 10 lying around just to spare, throw a few tins of peas, beans, cereals, biscuits, you name it, just throw a few of them towards the Waterford Food Bank if you can, or wherever you are located if you're listening to this. I know we've got a good listenership in the US and the UK and abroad. If you're listening to this podcast, just please, and you have a couple of pounds to spare, just consider donating to your local food bank. The food banks are something that we are very passionate about here at the Stonecast, so please consider that. That's been a fucking great chat, one. We were a bit all over the place there, and I was like, how are we getting out of this? But we fucking flew through it there. Jeez, I could sit talking about growth forever.
Yeah, I know. I enjoy that now. It's good to it's good even just like catching up, man. It's like,
yeah.
And like I think as we were saying, like it's like we were talking about those Zoom quizzes and stuff like that. Like it's great to have like a bit of structure in the week and things that like, you know, tell you one day of the week from the next. So I enjoy having these once a week anyway. And yeah.
I think
God, I missed the pubs.
I know, man.
He's
having the DTs at the moment, I think. But it's good as well. Like just anything you can do to get a sense of accomplishment at the moment is worth doing. And recording the podcast and getting it out there for us is definitely it gives us some sort of fucking full sense of accomplishment. So it's well worth doing. Listen, lad, you know where to find us. If you're on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter, look us up. We're Snowcast and all of those. Thanks a million for tuning in. Your support, as ever, is always appreciated. Thanks to everyone who's engaged us on social media. The last couple of days, we've had a few tweets that have done quite well because people are liking, retweeting, and getting involved. And thanks for getting in touch. And thanks also for buying local and drinking local. And there's been a good few people I've been in contact with me recently about drinks that I've spoken about in the Snowcast, about breweries that I've I've promoted on social media, and they've been in touch. Kildare Brewing Company have been in touch with us. Yellow Belly have, Kinnegar have, to say that it actually means an awful lot to them, and it does make the difference. So thanks to everyone who's invested in drinking local produce. It's what will keep our communities going at the end of this crisis, is supporting local producers, local companies, local shops, etc. So thanks all of you. Lads, you heard it here tonight. Could be 2 fucking months away from a pint. Launch it.
See you, lads. Good luck.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.